This is WordPress Weekly, the show dedicated to all things WordPress. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Sarah Gooding.
Welcome to episode 128 of WordPress Weekly for Friday, November 15th, 2013. And thanks a lot for joining us. I want to thank everybody in the chat room for taking some of their Friday afternoon out and just sitting in there listening to the live show right now. And my name is Jeff Chandler, and joining me this week is my co-host, Sarah Gooding. Sarah, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Fridays are my favorite days of the week, and it's even better when it's payday. So a lot happening in the world of WordPress. Let's get you caught up with the headlines before we chat with our special guests this afternoon. And the first thing we want to get out to you is that WordPress 3.8 is on schedule. During Matt Mulloway's keynote speech last week at the Joomla World Conference, actually it was this past weekend, he announced that the date for WordPress 3.8 would be released. And that magical day is December 12th. Now, it's not that the release date was a secret, considering that the project schedule was published before development got started. It's just that, for as long as I can remember, release dates didn't mean anything. At least, that's how it appeared. That was my perception. I've writing about WordPress for a number of years, I've seen various release schedules, but I'd really see them followed, or at least if they were followed, they would always be a week late, 2 weeks late, 3 weeks late, you know, almost to the point of why bother having a schedule. So I made a big fuss about this online, and I got a couple, Matt and Andrew Nason, pointing me to the philosophy of deadlines aren't arbitrary, which, okay, I understand that, but I just want to say that it's nice to see WordPress being delivered on whatever dates are being chosen for a change. WordPress 3.7 shipped on time, and it looks like they're going to be two for two with WordPress 3.8. And just for a bit of statistical information, Andrew Nason published to me on Twitter, he said, WordPress 3.0, 3.1, and 3.6 slipped about 2 months, which I agree is not much in the grand scheme of things, but 3.3, 3.4, 3.5, and 3.7 didn't drag on, and there were many lessons learned. And Sarah, I have to say that with the new experimental way of developing WordPress, and especially how 3.7 and 3.8 were developed and worked on at the same time, and with plugins being developed first as features to just be merged into 3.8, it's refreshing to see that not everything is going working on core at once, and we're able to see these schedules actually be followed up on.
Yeah, it's great for everybody, I think, planning ahead, you know, upgrading plugins and things and being ready to have all that ready to go when it's released is pretty refreshing. I know as writers it's nice to know the actual date because then you can get prepared for all the flurry of writing that will be going on.
Yes, I have a little, I have to try and get vengeance on somebody in the WordPress community for posting news first about a new WordPress release, but I won't say their names. But they know who they are if they're listening. But I failed with 3.7. I was in the car on the road. I looked down at my phone. I said, how could 3.7 be released when I'm at a stoplight? What am I supposed to do? But I will be prepared this time just in case that person out there is listening. We'll see who can hit the publish button first. So speaking of WordPress 3.8, you published an article that listed the merge window, the WordPress 3.8 merge window, where features that were developed as plugins first have the opportunity to be merged into the core of WordPress 3.8 to actually be a feature. Which features are actually were merged in as to core that we can expect to see in 3.8?
Well, it looks like the Dash project, the new dashboard design is going in, and the theme experience is an updated way to see themes in the appearance screen. And the other one, MP6, probably the biggest one, the most exciting one for me anyway. And lastly, 2014 looks like it's going to make the cut. So 3.8 is going to be packed full of all kinds of awesomeness.
Yeah, I can't wait. I've been playing around with 2014 a lot, and there are some things I like and some things that I have to work on, but I'm really digging 2014 and some of the other features in WordPress, especially the theme experience area, which was called THX, and the whole dashboard, making those widgets better. That's been nice. If you're using the WordPress beta testing plugin, by the way, if you use it to download the nightlies, you can actually see the progress every time you download a new version of WordPress, the progress of this merge taking place in WordPress is pretty interesting. And I had a question dealing with 3.9. We saw 3.7 and 3.8 were being developed concurrently, meaning at the same time, and I was wondering, well, we're almost to the beta release of 3.8, so I'm wondering, are we going to start development at 3.9? And you had a quote from the meeting that Matt Mulloway closed the development meeting by encouraging everyone to start getting fired up about new features for 3.9. You had this quote where he says, "One final thing, everyone should start thinking about plugin projects and renewed energy on ones that didn't make 3.8 starting after beta 1. And for 3.9 to go smoothly, we need the head start just like we had for 3.8. So all in all, it looks like this experiment of plugins first that merge into the core of WordPress is going to continue. And I wonder if with 3.9, if we're going to see the same success or if we'll start to see some of the negative aspects of going this route for development.
Yeah, it definitely looks like there are plugins that are already being developed for 3.9, especially the ones that didn't make the cut, and that really puts everyone ahead already, so it'll be exciting.
Yeah, some things I saw that maybe worked on for 3.9 is OmniSearch, which didn't make 3.8. Mm-hmm. The content creation experience, which I'm really excited about because that's awesome. I think there's so many people that spend so much time of their day, me, in the post-writing creation screen that I'd love to see it kind of revamped or a new idea on a new workflow to create content. So the dashboard recreation experience and possibly something called inline preview or looking at previews of content inline and being able to edit a live preview and vice versa, kind of like what you see with Ghost, which when you're creating content, you can see a live preview and edit either side. I believe that's how it works. It'd be kind of neat to see with WordPress. But that's for 3.9. And Beta 1 should be released sometime soon here within the next few days. And then within the next 2 or 3 weeks, we should see December 12th. We'll see if they keep on schedule. The next thing I want to tell everyone is that if you're a Themify user, they recently announced a vulnerability in their framework. Now, the vulnerability stems from an unsecure file named themify-ajax.php. The fix was released on November 9th, 2012. So if you're using a Themify framework and you installed the Themify framework before November 9th, you probably have this file still on your web server somewhere. And the reason why this file is still there is because their auto-upgrade process failed to delete the file. Now, they've said, and the reason they brought this out is because they recently had a number of reports where intruders were using Themify.ajax.php to upload files to user servers. So if you install Themify framework version 1.2.1 and below, chances are you have this file located on your web server. You need to get rid of it as soon as possible. I did see a news article published the other day, though, that they have changed their auto-upgrade procedure where anybody using the Themify framework, if they do the auto-upgrade now, their auto-upgrade process deletes that file for you. So as long as you use the auto-upgrade and upgrade to the new version of the Themify framework, it should automatically delete that file for you if it's still there. So if you see a Themify upgrade, framework upgrade, you better take advantage of it to consider yourself safe. And good on them for announcing the security vulnerability, even though it stems from 2012. So anybody who's out there using a Themify framework, keep your eyes open and look for that update. Now, earlier this week, those who use Android, the WordPress app on Android, apparently that has received a major update. And Sarah, you wrote about this. What are some of the new enhanced features that people can expect to see for those using WordPress on Android?
One of the most exciting ones is the native stats built in. So that works a lot faster on your Android phone.
And hey, I want that for iOS.
Well, it's probably on the way. I don't know. You'll have to investigate that one. The support for media handling is vastly improved. You can edit your pictures, caption, and description and everything right in the app, so that's a lot easier. Let's see, what else? The pin lock feature, that's really cool. If you don't want, like, let's say you've got bratty little nieces and nephews running around and they grab your phone and post a blog that's crazy, some kind of prank on you, you can stop them from doing that with a new pin lock feature. And they made that open source too, so other developers who want to drop that into an app can do that. So I thought that was pretty cool.
And that's interesting. It's kind of a, instead of the, what is Android devices, do they have that swipe to unlock feature like the iOS devices, or how do you unlock the phone?
Yeah, it just depends on how you set it up.
Okay.
There are different ways of setting it up.
So then it's kind of a secondary lock feature, but specifically to the WordPress app, which is pretty nice. You wouldn't want gobbledygook being accidentally posted to a WordPress blog.
Right.
And so you also mentioned that coming soon there's going to be a native WordPress reader. Oh, reader, not weeder. Well, yeah, it's Friday. Got the tavern open already.
Yep. Looks like they're going to be adding that soon. I don't see a release date for that, but they usually just work on things until they're done, and so that'll be cool in the next version.
Yeah, so it looks like it's going to use the reader that we see for WordPress.com, but you'll be able to access it in the Android app. So we'll see what happens there. And last but not least, our last headline for this week, we mentioned this last week that it was going to happen, and now it has happened. And if we had some sound effects, I'd play the typical funeral music. But BuddyPress default theme has finally been laid to rest in 1.9. Are you sad about this?
I am a little bit.
I'm looking at your caption here for the image. It says BP default. May you rest in peace.
Yeah, it's time that it goes. It's kind of an old, ugly looking theme, but it really helped. It really helped to put BuddyPress out there to a lot of people, because it was so easy to just install the plugin and then put this theme on it as a default, so that you could play around and see how everything works. And it also helped with examining problems that someone's having in forums. You could refer them to the default theme and say, hey, does it work there? If it does, then maybe you have a problem with your theme instead of a plugin or whatever. So it would help as a diagnostic tool. But now I guess it's time that the core developers are not going to work on it anymore. They're going to retire it, and they'll put out any sort of emergency fix that needs to happen, but it's not going to get any more new features. And so this is, you know, it's a new day. The developers will have more time, I think, to focus on the components to make them awesome. So
yeah, reading everything dealing with this news, you'd think we were laying down an honorable person that served in the military. I mean, it's BP default served with honor and deserves a well-earned rest. And I also read that it is with fond remembrance that we lay BP default down to rest. But we do not know its final resting place. Is that correct? We don't know if it's going to be on the theme repository just yet, or if it's just going to disappear.
I think they're considering putting it in the WordPress theme directory. So that's a possibility. But I don't know what will happen to it there, if somebody will maintain it, or, you know, that would be quite a huge task. It may go there to rot. I hope not. But I don't know what will happen to it.
Well, last thing we need to do is turn the WordPress theme directory into a graveyard, but I don't know, maybe for some themes it's already a graveyard there. Anyways, that's going to do it for this week's headlines, and now it's time to bring on our special guest, which I do not have a drum roll, but she certainly deserves one. Her name is Laurel Van Fossen. She's been a member of the WordPress community for over 8 years. She's been called Fairy Blog Mother, Goddess of WordPress, but most recently, Teacher. She writes about blogging and WordPress on her site, Laurel on WordPress, and is the author of the book, Blogging Tips, What Bloggers Won't Tell You About Blogging. Laurel, boy, it's been way too long.
10 years! 10 years! 10 years! I want to make sure I get full credit for all 10 years of WordPress.
Are you the mother of WordPress? Because WordPress was born 10 years ago.
No. We don't even go there. I stopped that immediately. I jumped on Matt's case with that. No mother of nothing. Mother of a cat. Okay, that's it. You know, a couple cats. I'm the old cat lady. No, I'm not a mother, and I'm not a grandmother of WordPress either. Matt has a beautiful mother. I adore her. She can be the mother of WordPress.
Okay. Hey, you know, the last time you were on the show was April 19th, 2008. It was episode 13 of WordPress Weekly. Can you believe that?
I don't know if I can believe it, or I'm actually pissed off at you that you haven't had me back sooner. So...
Wow.
I know. No,
You're a very busy lady.
That. I am, but I am so proud of you. What episode number are we up to now?
We are episode 128.
Wow.
So there's a lengthy period of time there where there were no episodes, but we're back.
I remember
those. Back from the grave.
Jeff, those were the dark days. Those were the very dark days. We missed it. It was the totally dark ages.
Well, I have to say that, you know, there's a song out there that talks about how you don't know what you've got till it's gone. And when the show disappeared, and I went to work camps, or I went to other places, or I received emails all the time. Hey, when are you bringing back the show? When's the show coming back? And I said, you know, I just kind of sat and thought to myself, why? You know, I didn't really know that many people enjoyed listening to the show week to week. So, that was very humbling to kind of go through that experience that so many people sort of, you know, relied on this show being there, and they loved enjoyed listening to it, even though I hated listening to it myself because of my voice. But they somehow were able to understand most of the things I said during the show. But that was really cool to see so many people, you know, love listening to the show.
I love. You don't have an excerpt from that, do you?
No.
Oh, that would have been fun.
I was listening to it prior to the show back in the talk show days, and we could sometimes barely hear you, and we were using that phone line connection because of how their system works.
Yeah.
But that show, I think that show was about 2 hours long.
Oh, yeah, it's just me. Yeah, I talk too much.
Well, we went over a number of things in that show.
We had too much fun. What version of WordPress was 2008? Was that... Did we have the...
Well,
What was that?
That was the first time I met you in person because early... I think before April, and it might have been in March, in 2008 was WordCamp Dallas. Do you remember that event?
WordCamp? Of course I do. That was an awesome WordCamp. Oh.
That was put on by Charles Strickland and John Podesides, I think.
Yep,
and,
it was.
Do you remember what happened at WordCamp Dallas?
Oh, my God, I remember too many things that happened, and some I shouldn't even say.
That is where WordPress 2.5 was released.
Yeah.
And that's when that was one of the first major redesigns of the WordPress backend.
Right, that was the UI from hell.
Oh, is that what they call it?
Well, no, it was amazing because let's just step back into the past a little bit because it's important to know where we were. So much time, money, and energy was put into psychoanalyzing and socioanalyzing everything to make, you know, to testing. They did the eye testing. I think that Jane Wells, a.k.a. Jen Miles, all those were in charge, you know, she was in charge of the eye, was it the heat map eye testing, laser eye thing. Matt thought that was so awesome, and I did too. It was really cool. But they went around and they interviewed people, and they did, you know, how do you use WordPress? How do you use WordPress? And then created the administration panels based on all this feedback, and it was incredibly hated. It might have been 3 days, 5 days, or something? It was like within a week, people were releasing WordPress plugins that put the administration panels back.
Oh yeah.
As they were. I mean, it was amazing kickback, and they raced out the next version to try to fix it. But they've been tweaking with it ever since, and I've got to say it is better. But now there's this new interface that they're experimenting with on WordPress.com with the
MP6.
MP6, yeah. I also want to say MP3, MP6, and where it becomes like, this is blogging for babies. It's a little too WYSIWYG for me, and I know that's where things need to go, but I really hate that it actually makes more work to try to get into the back end than it, you know, tweaking stuff. It's okay for publishing, just focus on the post, but if I want to fix something else, it gets really complicated. So I'm not too thrilled with dumbing it down, but I understand why. You know, if WordPress can't be like Tumblr and idiotic to use and for idiots, then, you know, no, I don't believe that, but I know there will be a balance at some point. And I'm just trying not to be one of those old fogey people that go, oh, it was better back in 2000. 2004, you know, when we really did it right. You know, in the good old days. I'm not one of those. I just think there needs to be a happy medium between easy to use and WordPress for Dummies.
Yes. So what have you been up to the past few years? I mean, like I said, you haven't been on the show since 2008. Kind of give us a rundown of trials and tribulations you've been through between then and now.
Well, you know, I haven't done anything since we last talked, you know. I mean, Jeff, my life is not, I've done nothing, you know. No, in 2010, was it? Somewhere around in there. I had planned, I was on the road for like 7 months doing WordCamps and all over the place, and I told Matt that both he and I needed, you know, we were talking about this, we just needed to step back a little bit and allow other people to rise to the surface, because it was all like the Matt and Laurel show, and everywhere we went, Matt and Laurel show, and then...
You were big back in the day. I mean, you were...
I was big
blogging.
In the day, yeah.
You were... what I meant was, you know, you were... As someone... I was just getting started writing about WordPress, but at the time, you know, from my perspective, you were like... You were what they call like a WordPress rock star, WordPress ninja,
yeah.
Or a WordPress celebrity.
and you were writing
everywhere, and everybody enjoyed talking to you. And
oh, I love
just,
it. I love the community.
Like, everybody knew who Laurel was at that
yeah.
time.
I loved it. Well, I published the first article on WordPress in 2003, September running there. I first played with it in August of 2003 when it was only just, you know, it was like 0.71 version. And I was swept away by it. I mean, it was totally devastated me. When I looked at it, I went, oh my God, this is near orgasmic. It was the best thing that I had touched in decades, and it was fabulous. I fell madly in love with it, and my life has never been the same. But I love the experimentation. People have always tried to box me, put me in a little, you know, little box. My favorite was the miscellaneous drawer. You know, I've been the WordPress diva, the WordPress queen. I you know, you saw my reaction to the mother thing. I think, yeah. But my favorite is Matt Mullenweg titled me the WordPress evangelist, and that's the one I went, oh, I like. First, it freaked me out because of its religious connotation, but I really, WordPress impacted me so greatly that the idea of evangelizing people into WordPress, that has never left me. The WordPress community, God, I'm going to start crying. Wow. The WordPress community is...
Oh, geez, you'll be the first person to cry on my show.
And not
please
only
don't
you.
Do that.
No, I am. This is amazing. The WordPress community is the best community in the world. I have... The people that I met online in those early days in the IRC, we had so much fun. And all of the different projects and things I've been involved with, there's been... You know, really, I can count on one hand the times when things got tough, you know, when personalities conflicted. But millions of things. And I explain to people and my students and the clients, too, the difference between blah, blah community and WordPress community is that when you show up to an in-person thing, you go, oh, hi, my name is Laurel. Who are you and what do you do? I do, you know, business card exchange, walk away, nothing. When I walk into a WordPress meetup, no matter where I am in the world, or a WordCamp, it's, okay, yesterday you said this, and I'm really pissed off about this. We need to talk about this. Oh, I liked your idea that you were talking about 3 days ago when we were talking about this. We got it, blah, 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 blah. And the conversation online and offline, there's no different. And I've actually been at a WordCamp talking to somebody for half an hour before the bells went off and went, oh, you're... And it was like, oh, there's no difference.
Well, it sounds like you're describing something that we talked about last week on the show. Chris Lima had wrote about this and some other people contributed, but he calls it something called approachable WordPress, where the idea
beautiful.
Of being able to just go up to anybody in the WordPress community, regardless of their stature or success, and ask them a question, and 99.9% of the time they'll stop what they're doing and they'll give you any advice you want or they'll answer any questions you want. And it's actually a great title, Approachable WordPress. I shared my story of my Approachable WordPress, which was actually back in 2008 at WordCamp Dallas, where mm-hmm. at the time I'm an up-and-coming WordPress writer, journalism type person, evangelist to a point, and I put Matt on this pedestal like Hollywood type celebrity. I said, okay, you know, here's the co-creator of WordPress. I mean, this is the guy, you know, he's a celebrity. People are going to be surrounding him, and I won't be able to talk to him. And he showed up at WordCamp Dallas, got out of the car, wasn't surrounded by bodyguards or paparazzi or anything like that. He was there with his sister, and I was able to talk his head off during that whole weekend, and it was incredible. I mean, that was an experience that put an impact on me, and I've been able to recreate that experience with other very successful WordPress people over the years, and I really like that title, Approachable WordPress.
I think that's a beautiful way of explaining it. I just tell people, you know, you go to a WordCamp and you've got, where else in the world can you have a real estate agent next to a lawyer, next to a truck driver, next to an astronaut, next to a president of a country or something, all sitting in the same room going, WordPress, this is good, give me more WordPress. And you find commonality, and I love it. You know, Michael D. Adams, you know, M.D. Adams, he was studying nuclear physicists, you know, he was going to blow things up. And now, you know, he's one of the main developers for WordPress. And, you know, it's wonderful. And every once in a while, I will actually meet people in the WordPress community that I realize once I walk away, I would have never gotten to know them and never wanted to get to know them if it wasn't for WordPress, which is a gift. And to me, every single day that I touch this community and I'm around this community, I feel just completely blessed and so welcomed and unconditional love. So when, you know, when Matt and I were talking about all of this, the fever of the WordCamps and everything flying around and people, you know, I mean, there were 800, almost 1,000 people at WordCamp Hawaii, the first WordCamp Hawaii, and the numbers were just, it was rock star levels. And I just said, you know, we need to just kind of back it off a little bit. And I told him I was going to take a year hiatus. And I needed to get my life back on schedule because we just bought a new house that I hadn't even seen because I was gone the whole time. And, I mean, I flew in from a WordCamp.
Yeah, in fact, you did so much traveling that you had your own website called Around the Road, right?
Oh, and yeah. I was living on the road full time since 1996, and so that was the first site that I converted to WordPress because I had over 2,000 articles. So the site was started in 93, 94, right in that time period, and then we hit the road full time in 96. So it's called CameraOnTheRoad.com, and it's still going. It's one of the oldest sites in the world and one of the oldest sites on WordPress. So that's kind of cool. Credit. But I said I just wanted to back off for a year and didn't. And during that last year of crazy before my hiatus was to start, I went sledding and destroyed my shoulder. Oh. In fact, I didn't know how bad it was. This is the honest truth. So we were at WordCamp Las Vegas, the first WordCamp Las Vegas, and we're all crowded into a bar and after the first day. And I'm talking to Matt and Liz Strauss, one of my best friends. She comes up behind me to give me a little neck, you know, puts her hands on my neck and gives me a little neck massage. And I screamed into Matt's face and fell on him. I had tears. I had no idea. I thought I had a pulled muscle. But I flipped while sledding during one of the worst snows and best snows. I love snow. Put me in snow. Happy girl. So I was sledding and I flipped and I dislocated my shoulder and tore three ligaments, 25%, 80%, and 100%, and had broken bone fragments in my shoulder. I also destroyed my hips. I found that out later. So when she put her hands on there, that I didn't know how bad it was. And I was crying, and he just kind of held me with, it's okay. And I'm like, okay, I'll be good in a minute. So I went 6 months traveling full-time with the shoulder destroyed. You know, when I was home for a few weeks, I, you know, did some physical therapy, and they went, no physical therapy is going to help you. So in fall of that year, getting ready for my so-called hiatus, I had my entire shoulder remodeled and had a lot of complications from surgery, and then found out that I'd actually dislocated my hip, and there's still bone fragments wrapped in my hip. So that limited my ability to walk for over a year. I went back, you know, flying into full dose for the last few months of that year and then started my hiatus with multiple surgeries and multiple disgusting things. So all the things that I wanted to do that year.
Have you been sledding since? Have you gone sledding any more since then?
There hasn't been. I haven't been anywhere where there's snow to play with it. So bring it on, winter. Winter's here. Come on, bring it on.
I can't. Anyway, I can't wait to see another Word Camp Hawaii. I'm definitely going to that one. I missed the first one.
We're working on that. But anyway, I stayed in touch with things. I did a few little odds and ends. But it was a year and a half to almost 2 years of massive recovery. I had no idea how destroyed I'd done my body. And then as I'm starting to recover from all of that business, I had the most incredible experience. I was at Web Visions in Portland, which has over 3,000 people from all over the web publishing, web industry, and a lot of it academia and really corporate-oriented things. I was speaking there on WordPress for multiple contributor sites in WordPress. And it was a packed room. It was awesome. And I came out with I had a cane limping along. And there was this group of people that were standing outside the room waiting for me, and they wanted to talk to me. And so, I was talking to them, and I said, well, why are you here? And they said, well, our teacher made us come here. And they explained they were at Clark College in Vancouver, Washington, and the department head and their teacher had brought them here from the web development program and web design program for getting, he got discount tickets and bought all the tickets for them so they could attend for free. So there were like six or eight of them, and I said, well, how are you liking it? Is this good? And and one of them said, God, I wish you were our teacher. And I said, well, tell them to hire me, big mouth Laurel. And all of them just stopped in their tracks, said, you'd come teach for us? You teach at the college? I said, sure, honey, I'm a whore. I'll talk about WordPress anywhere. and honestly, I swear to God this happened, and I know these guys, they will be witnesses. One guy grabbed my briefcase and somebody else got my cane. One got under each armpit, lifted me up, and carried me down the hall and into the convention center exhibition hall and dropped me down at a tape through all of the booths and all the stuff. They're just my feet aren't touching the ground. They dragged me and sat me down in front of this guy and then proceeded to spend the next 10 minutes telling him who I was and why I should be teaching for him. And I just sat there, just listening, stunned. And he turned around, he asked me a few questions, and then he said, okay, we got to have you come teach at Clark College. I'm revamping the entire web development degree and everything, and we need to talk. And I went, okay. Wow. And a few months later, I met with him, and in Kane and Cast, he is, drugged me all over campus. It's a beautiful campus, and proceeded to tell me about me. Now, this is a weird way to get a job. He knew more about me than I even remembered, let alone forgot. And he just said, you're perfect, you're great, you're fantastic, you're the WordPress evangelist, you're the guru of all of this, we need to have you, I want your vision, I want your thing. Then he sat down and told me his vision for the brand new degree program. It wasn't a solid vision, but he said that he went to a DrupalCon. He went to a Joomla conference the previous year, and he said, because he wanted to have a content management system that he could incorporate into the degree program for web design and web development and web programming that would carry them throughout their 2-year degree, which is now kind of like a 3-year degree. And he said, that wasn't right. It just wasn't right. Then he went to a WordCamp in Portland, and he said he walked in the door, and his heart burst, and his eyes exploded out of his head. He was seeing people hugging. He was seeing people enthusiastic, dynamic, energized. So that's all they could talk about. They didn't, they weren't in a corner with their headphones on and not paying attention to the world glued to their laptops. They were engaged. And Robert Hughes, Bob Hughes, department chair of the computer technologies department at Clark, he said it just blew his mind. He said, this is the energy. This is the synergy. This is what we need. So we sat down and I told him and I now it's been almost 3 years, I said, you know, here's the deal with WordPress that makes it unique and makes it appropriate. I see your vision of the community, the networking, the possibilities, the energy. I see all that. But more importantly, there's something about WordPress, and I call it the tripod. It's these three legs that WordPress stands on. Content, code, and design. And anyone who comes to WordPress with a preconceived notion, and you know this, you guys, you know, Jeff, you and Sarah, you get this. You come to WordPress with the idea that you're going to be a programmer. You're going to just strictly write code for WordPress, WordPress plugins, and then you start playing with it, and you go, oh, this theme business is kind of cool. Oh, I can add coding functionality to themes, and then I can watch it do it. Okay, suddenly I want to be a designer, you know? Or you come in with, I have had, this is one I'm so proud of my student, of all my students, but one student in my very first WordPress class, the college there, he came in, he was in for design. That's all he was there for. This was his second, you know, he was over 50 years old and was restarting, rebooting his life after hard times. And he said, I don't want to do this blogging crap. I just want to know about how to design for it. So I'm only here for the WordPress theme stuff because I have to. They told me I have to take it. I said, well, part of my course requires you to blog. You have to publish a series of articles. You have to prove that you know how to insert images. You have to do video. You have to do all these things because you're going to have clients. Those clients need you to teach them how to use it. And that was really hard at first to get across. Now they're getting it. I'm getting smarter about talking about it. But he'd come in to class, arms crossed, poopy face, blogging thing, it sucks. It's stupid. Blogging for sissies. And I, you know, I just said, I don't care. You don't get a grade. You don't blog. You don't get a grade. It's how it works. You got to prove to me you know how to use it before we start breaking it. He started publishing these amazing articles. And it seems that when he was a kid, he and his brother became phenomenally successful comic book writers and cartoonists and, animated graphic stuff, you know, all that beautiful comic book stuff. And they became actually quite famous and sold, you know, sold their stuff and did quite well, you know, 30, 40 years, whatever long years ago. And 30 years ago, so ago. And then, you know, his life, he went in the military and he went downhill from, you know, as an adult. But now he's scrambling back up and he started talking about his love of music from that time period, his, sharing his graphics and all these things. And he was the favorite. Fast forward, last quarter, he came to me first night of class and said, I wanted to come and tell you thank you. And I said, for what? And he goes, you forced me to blog. You forced me to publish. You forced me to have my say. And just a few months ago, or whenever it was, my site won one of the best of show at VidCom. And I now have several comic books. And one of my comic book stories is being picked up as a movie, and I'm working on the script and negotiating it right now.
Wow, this is the student that hated blogging, didn't want nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with it. And I'm starting to, now that I've been doing this for 3 years, I'm starting to hear from these students down the road that are saying, you know, it was there for design, and I didn't want to do code. I hate code. Code is ugly. Code is disgusting. And now they're going, I get that you cannot design without code. I'm now loving code. And people who thought, you know, that content was bad, and now they're thriving in content and leaving the code and design behind. So that those three legs, once you come in with on one of those legs, you touch content, code, and design, and suddenly your whole world opens up and expands into this new thing, and you find these new passion and new energies and new creativity. I got to tell you, it's magic. And my classes are like these microcosms of mini WordCamps. People from all different WordCamps.
That's perfect for you.
Oh, it's heavenly. And they are teaching me so much about WordPress and so much about life and so much about, you know, determination to succeed and reboot your life and to, you know, push the limits. It's a beautiful thing, and I'm so proud of them. And so Bob and I, we worked for about a year and a half. We busted ass. I did massive grant program work, interviewed tons of phenomenal people in the WordPress community, local and international. And we managed to get the advisory committee. You know, you have to go through all these approvals. We got the advisory community community advisory committee. When they saw our new degree program, and we have some top businesses that are on this community advisory team, they all said the same thing. They said, I would hire somebody from this, because you have WordPress in it, I'd hire somebody from this degree in a split second, mostly because you put WordPress in it. And so Bob and I revamped the entire, the web design people came on board and adopted WordPress. It took a lot of work to convince them, but the web development degree at Clark is state of the art. And the problem, as you guys well know, is that programs like this, the degree programs, were 10 years behind times. They weren't adaptive. They couldn't keep up with anything. And this program is so freaking amazing, because in web development and web design, we've got WordPress 1, WordPress 2, we've got PHP, JavaScript, and related stuff. We've got writing for the web as a requirement. So WordPress 1 is a required fundamental along with HTML and writing for the web. So they're touching, you know, and then PHP and JavaScript and all those things, they're touching the code content and design beautifully with these building blocks. And most importantly, they're learning, to quote one of my fellow teachers, to roll their own. They're getting that this is an adaptive industry. You have to keep up with the times. You have to stay motivated to be involved. And it's so exciting to be a part of this. And it got in January of this year, it was accepted by the state. And this quarter is the first quarter that the new degree program is on the books. It's in the catalog. It is rocking forward. And WordPress, get this, WordPress, one required course for 2 degrees, 1 certification. Some other of the degree programs are looking at incorporating, like journalism and English stuff, looking at putting WordPress 1 in their fundamentals. It's a required fundamental course. It's a 5-credit course. We're serious about WordPress at Clark College, and I am so honored to be a part of this. And the WordPress 2 class course is supposed to be in spring this year. We're working on developing that, and I spent all summer working on developing it. We're starting to interview some teachers for it. It's amazing. I mean, look how far we've come.
Yeah,
from poking at this open source free thing to now it's required in degree programs at a college.
Yeah, does it surprise you at all that WordPress is now, I mean, you have this college course at Clark, and I've actually read online that there are other, it's starting in community colleges and things of that nature, but we're starting to see more and more WordPress in the academic world and being used as a way to get credits, whether it be for journalism or whether it be for design, whether it be for content creation. WordPress is really starting to enter the whole academic area of education now.
It is. So Clark has several English programs and a journalism program and a few other ones that are signing up for a WordPress.com blog is the first assignment of the course. So it isn't about learning WordPress. It's about using it as homework, as using it as a publishing tool. And that is, I am so excited about that. I don't even, what are you seeing out there?
What am I
seeing?
What are you hearing?
Yeah.
Well, I just I went to the WordCamp event here. It was called WordCamp North Canton, and there was actually an entire session on WordPress and education, and it was by a gentleman who uses WordPress and tries to implement WordPress into educational systems such as, let's say, Ohio State or some big colleges where it's actually being used by teachers to hand out homework assignments or the comment section will be used to ask and answer questions after the fact. It's being used as a enhancement of the course material and being able to kind of connect with the instructors one-on-one and being used to dish out homework and other things. And that's what I've been hearing as far as WordPress in the educational area. It's just a difficulty of all of these educational systems are tied into proprietary home-built systems that are just don't even compare to the open source collaborative effort of WordPress, and a lot of these educational systems are kind of stuck, and not many of them are in a position to make the change over to something like WordPress.
Yeah, I'm seeing WordPress multi-user is absolutely perfect as a learning management system, especially with BuddyPress added to it. I would love to see more and more schools adopt that. But you've got old thinking. And I was just, you know, I've been told over and over and over again that I need to slow down. The academia doesn't move that fast.
And Morel, so, slow down? Yeah, right.
Yeah, I know. It makes it really painful. And so I've, I really see that happening. But what happens is you have the learning management system, which Washington State has now, the entire state has adopted Canvas, a quasi, you know, it's open source-ish, semi-proprietary. I'm not even sure what it is anymore. It's kind of shifting and balancing. That's the learning management system. So all of our college and stuff is flipping over. Oregon, I also teach at Portland Community College at Rock Creek, and on a three credit WordPress class for part of their design web design degree, and they're using a different learning management system. But you've got all these piecemeal learning management systems that are all over the place, and many of them are trying to incorporate WordPress. Some of them don't get it, and then there's also the issue of, but it's free. How can anything that's free be good? How do we write a budget to get approval for something that's free? Must be bad. And then there's the, you know, and then there's, I don't understand how to use it. I don't understand tags. I don't understand categories. And so I'm working on a book to help educators learn how to use WordPress.com. There's already one for WordPress in general, but I'm working on one that's very specific for WordPress.com using the lessons, you know, that I've learned from all my years on WordPress.com. Which, you know, I'm actually really proud of the fact that I was site ID number 72 on WordPress.com. Like that.
That's early days. That's dinosaur times.
It was 2005. Donica asked me to come in and break it, and I did. And one of my favorite moments on a WordCamp. It was WordCamp 2007. Yeah, in San Francisco, he admitted up on stage in front of everybody that the most horrifying moment of his life was when he broke WordPress.com with something, I don't remember what it was, and lost several of my posts, got erased by trying to get it restored. And he said he lived in fear for a week that I was going to email him or instant message him and come down on his head. And I went, what missed? I didn't know there was anything missing. I'm just plowing on. So I still don't know what went missing. I have, you know, I have to go through all my notes and compare. But, you know, I was publishing 3 to 5 things a day, so I know, you know.
If Sean Andrews in the chat room wants to know, when you talk about Clark, is it clark.edu?
Yes, it is. Clark.edu.
He says, if so, he's sad that their website's not running on WordPress.
No, their website is not running on WordPress. They just did a redesign, and they're going to be putting it on, I fear they're making a decision like this week or something, on Drupal. They're still negotiating, but WordPress is not in the running for running their entire site.
Sad trombone.
Yeah, I know it. And it's, you know, that's just part of not understanding how it works. We've got all this complicated stuff, and we have to integrate email and all these, you know, and the learning management system into it, and yada yada yada, and so we must pick something that's designed for big corporate companies. But it doesn't stop, you know, WordPress. It's still early days for WordPress to moving into academia for people to understand how it works. I think with the movement to modularize the core of WordPress, I think that's huge, and I think that may allow developers to look at it a little differently and combine the concept of BuddyPress or something like it with, you know, that, and divide up all the parts and pieces that need to go in. But they need something that will integrate with SharePoint, with Exchange, with all these other things. And they went, okay, we're, you know. So I'm waiting for the decision, but WordPress was not in the running for that.
Okay. And
yes,
before,
he's right.
Yeah, before I... Sarah has a couple questions she'd like to ask you, but before I let her on the air, can you just give us an update as to what Dave Moyer's been up to? I haven't heard from him. I know he did the Bitwire. He was part of Bitwire Media, and he did his own podcast that you were a part of with Kim Nguyen. and just kind of give us an update as to what's going on with Dave.
Well, Dave...
That young kid...
That young whippersnapper, who I love to death. Dave didn't have much of a childhood, and he didn't have much of a teenage years. He started his podcast at age 15, and I'll never forget him talking about the first podcast. He, his first comment was, says, "Wow, it's you sound like a girl. It's so nice to hear a girl podcasting." Oops, sorry, put in that voice, you know. And he worked his buns off between his acting in high school, and he did an accelerated high school project. He's freaking brilliant. And podcasting and running Bitwire and WordCast and all the things going on for like 6 years or so, and I worked with him for many of those years, and really didn't get a teenage years. And now he's out being a teenager, and I love it. So he's out living. He's doing well to the last, you know, the best of my knowledge, and I wish he'd, you know, jump back and touch more frequently, but he's doing great.
All right.
I miss those days. That was fun.
Yeah, and I remember seeing Dave a couple of times at a few different work camps at age 15, and you know, I'd see the women in there, "Oh, look, he's so cute," and then he'd go in there and he'd just blow them away with, "Yeah, this is how you do a podcast and audio, and here's the equipment," and everyone come out. I'd see Twitter responses saying, "Wow, you know, this was a great presentation. This Dave Moyer, he knows he's on top of things." And, you know, at age 15, he was on top of his game.
It, absolutely rocking it. And he actually might have been younger. He may have been 13 when he started. I can't remember now. But I met him when he would just turn 16 or was about to turn 16. And stunned because I didn't know until like a week before I actually met him, I didn't know how old he was. Because I don't, when you're on the online world, I don't think about things like that. I don't go, let me check your driver's, oh, you don't have a driver's license. Okay, we got a problem here. In fact, I taught him how to drive a stick shift. And so, but I didn't know how old he was. And that's part of the magic of the WordPress community, is that I worked with him for several years before, he was 13 when he started podcasting, yeah, not 15. But I worked with him for several years before I found out how old he was, and I was absolutely stunned, completely stunned. I had no idea, and a little shook up that his dad was younger than me, but it was, that was a little scary. He said, "Not by much," but I said, "Still, that's really scary." But no, he's brilliant. He's going to rule the world, but he just needs some time to, do something else. And I think that's really important, and I encourage him completely. Kim Nguyen, oh my God, he is so rocking it. So he's got We Teach Me in Australia, and he's taken it international, which is an online teaching appointment book. That's not a good word for it, but it is a social network that's designed to encourage people to teach and share. Businesses, individuals, so they can book things and have online as well as in-person, face-to-face training programs, and they have all kinds of things with that. It's brilliant. He is doing... I encouraged, in fact, I forced him to do his first startup weekend, and he freaking rocked it and came out with two companies that were just phenomenally successful, and now he's put all of his attention into one, and he's branching out into other things. He's just
he's on top of his game too. He used to be just that sideshow sidekick buddy on Dave Moyer's show, but now he's doing it.
He's awesome. Well, he got his, he's an attorney now, and so he finished his college and got he passed his bar, and he's just amazing. And Dave and I got to meet him in San Francisco a couple years ago, and that was so exciting, and it was so funny because we worked with each other for so long, and we've spent like 24 to 48 hours nonstop on Skype, ear to ear, talking about things, working on projects together, all kinds of things with the three of us. And then we finally got to all be in the same room. We couldn't stop touching each other, going, "Oh my God, I can actually touch you. You're right there. Oh God." We're hugging and just kissing and loving, going, "Oh my God, I don't have an ocean and some continents between us." It was, oh, Kim is, I was so blessed to work for so many years with these two guys. They just changed my life. I just love them.
All right, Sarah, do you have, this is your opportunity to talk to the fairy blog mother live on the air, and this is being recorded, so.
The WordPress fairy blog mother.
Okay, so Laurel, I have kind of a personal question. You write a lot, and you teach, and you're going to events, and you're into so many things. How do you find the time to read and stay current with everything on the web and all the latest tools and everything that you're teaching? How do you do it without being constantly connected to devices, or what are your personal habits that keep you up to date?
I have wires coming out of the back of my head to my Android devices. Honestly, I have 3 monitors at my desk was built custom for me by my husband to fit in the trailer, and I still have it. Now that I have a house, it's in my office. My office is called the Cat House because they used to it's a garage for what was once the Caterpillar bulldozer. And so they called it the Cat House, and we bought it. I thought that was hysterical, so I'll go, honey, I'm going to go work out in the Cat House. I'm heading to the Cat House. I'm in trouble. So men can have dog houses. I have a cat house. I just kind of like that whole thing. And so it's a big garage, and I've turned it into a giant workshop. And I have 3 monitors. I have my Android tablet right next to me for notes and calendar and everything else. I got my phone here, and I don't even go to the bathroom without my phone. So, habits. Liz Strauss makes jokes that she lives in people's computers, and I tell everybody I live on the internet. I go through actual withdrawal. 1 to 2 times a year, my husband takes me now to Brighton Bush Hot Springs in Oregon, which is in the Cascade Mountains of Oregon, and there is no, they generate their own electricity. There's no wireless. There's no cell phone. And the first time he took me, it took me 3 days to get past the shakes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was like, I can't connect, I can't email, I can't, who's going to clean up my comments on my blog? So, yeah, and I was there for 5 days, and I didn't have fun till day 4. But now we do this on a regular basis so Laurel can disconnect. The habits are first thing in the morning, before I even get out of bed or head to the toilet, I just check all emergency emails. I have a weird schedule with teaching, so it changes from quarter to quarter, but I technically 3 days a week I'm teaching. So I just get up and I start, and I try to just write first thing in the morning without checking. I do email on mobile, and then I ignore it, try to tune everything out, and write for 3 to 5 hours. If I'm lucky, it's usually 10 minutes. And then the rest of the day is hit and miss, being tugged from every angle between multiple devices and email and blog comments and stuff. So I don't sleep.
Instead of owning your devices, are you saying that the devices own you?
Oh, without a doubt. Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. I have names for all of them, and they
Are you okay with that, or is it just something you're willing to live with?
I've done this now for 20 years.
Oh, okay.
So
must be good friends with all your devices.
I am. I have names for them all, but I can't say them on the air. they're all those words that aren't edible. They're bad words. Anyway, they have ing at the end of many times. And I love it because I'm constantly in contact with people and doing things, and I don't mind the texting across the room business as well as talking to people face-to-face. I'm comfortable with both worlds. And I know how to tune out, so I do balance. So I guess when I'm not teaching, my ritual is to get early in the morning, work out. I work until about 2 o'clock. Then I take a 2 to 3 hour break where I will do my stuff. I'll work on my project, my personal stuff, go wash clothes, laundry, whatever it happens to be, and then take a walk. I live in a beautiful forest, so I take walks and stuff like that. And then I just go back and I work until about, I work through food. So I'll usually around 10 or 11 o'clock, my husband will come get me and say, hot tub time in bed. And so we try to do 3 times a week, we do, give or take, we do an hour in the hot tub or half an hour in the hot tub to reconnect. And he works long hours too. And then crash. And I'm usually, I only sleep about 5 hours maybe six if I'm lucky.
Wow.
Always have. So that's it. I just don't sleep. I just work, and I love what I do. So I'm not good on the habit business. I do it constantly. In fact, my commute can be a half an hour to Clark College is a half an hour to 3 hours. So I always have to get there early, and I will sit in traffic, not moving, and be responding to blog posts and things like that, you know, things I shouldn't be doing, but I'm not moving. I'm stuck in traffic, you know?
Right.
So, and when I take the train into town, you know, I'm, you know, it's a little commuting thing for events in town, you know, I'm on the train, na 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 na, tappy, tappy, tappy. I love it. But isn't it amazing, you know, both of you two are doing what you love. And part of the doing what you love is it's not a job and relegating it to a job. I am 9 to 5. I couldn't do that. When you do what you love, you do it at every moment that you can. And then when, luckily, you know, for me, and hopefully you have this flexibility too, when personal shows up, you can deal with it. You can actually stop and say, okay, I can focus on you for an hour because I don't have a real time commitment. And that's been awesome for me. And I love that. And this month, I'm taking on NaNoWriMo. Y'all know what NaNoWriMo is?
Oh, yeah. Writing every day?
Yeah. So you want to tell them what it is, Sarah?
Well, I've never done it myself, but apparently a bunch of people get together for an entire month of writing a blog every single day. And
not
it turns
blog.
Out that... Not a blog?
It could be, but it's National Novel Writing Month in November. It's an
Okay.
Yeah,
it's a different one. Right.
No, it's the same thing. People get together and write. They don't necessarily... They could blog if they want to. But NaNoWriMo is National Novel Writing Month in November. And the goal is to write a fictional novel in 50,000 words in a month. That sounds really frightening. It's 1,677 words a day, and I don't write fiction. I'm so jealous of fiction writers. I really want to write fiction, but I write technical. So I've been wanting to do this for years, and so I decided that I'd work on one of my books. And I'm up to I don't have it open right now, but I'm up to almost 30,000 words, I think. So far, and we're into week 2.
Wow.
I found out that I can actually write, even with distractions, I can do about, it ranges between 1,200 and 1,800 words in an hour. So that was cool. Kind of made me rethink how I blog and how I write and mm-hmm. how I schedule, because I've never written to a word count before.
You know, I don't know anybody who's doing it, the fiction. Actually, most of the people I know are just writing, you know, blog posts or nonfiction for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's designed to encourage fiction writers, but I'm not doing that. But to actually just write, there's the puppy.
There's our special guest. Oh, man, it's a dog
Sorry.
Walking across the room.
I'll put the mute on.
That's all right. But it's what for me, it was a way to step up my writing. I wanted to have that self-challenge. And I think that we get too caught up in the regular and in the habit. And this was a chance for me to really push myself to keep those words flowing, keep the ideas flowing. And I got to tell you, there's some days it has been a pain in the tuchus, but it's really good. And next year, man, I'm going to be doing a whole series of articles leading up to this on how to do it, to blog it live, and to share their stuff and things for WordPress.com, because this is the most fun I have had in ages to really get reacquainted with my keyboard and just let the words flow. It's really, really exciting.
Well, all of that writing you do, how many keyboards do you go through?
That's actually a really good question. I kill my keyboards. In fact, I worked many years ago. I worked with Microsoft when they started doing the hardware stuff. In Seattle, I was working with them to laser cut in, and they did this for quite a while, laser cut in the letters on their ergonomic keyboard and stuff, because I'd wear the suckers out. And I touch type, so people will come and sit down on my keyboard and go, oh my God, half your letters are missing on your keyboard. And I go, well, the keys are there. Don't you know where the E is? No. And I actually chip away because I have long nails. And they're really hard. I just pound away at the keyboard because I learned on an old Olivetti manual typewriter, the kind that I could type really fast and grab the keys and unstick them and keep going and then slam the carriage across. So I know all of that. So usually it's about 2 to 3 years, and it isn't me pounding on them that kills it. It's me dropping a cup of tea or water or something on it that. And it
electrocutes. Yeah, for me, it's Mountain Dew, and then everything gets sticky, and I've tried to take the keys all apart, but once you get the Mountain Dew syrup in there, there's no chance for the keyboard.
Yeah, it's pretty toast. And so that's what I usually do. And I just bought the new Freestyle 2 keyboard. It's not too new, from Kinesis, and this thing divides. It's in two pieces, and you can elevate it up at different angles, so it almost becomes like a Dvorak keyboard. You could make it that way so it stands up. And I can spread it apart, and it comes with a separate number pad. Oh my God! A friend of mine is a PhD. She got arthritis and carpal tunnel and everything from all the writing for her thesis. It was like 11 years of hardcore writing every day on her stuff. She got one of these, and it just saved her. And for years she's been saying, "Get this thing." And I finally, when I poured tea on my keyboard a few weeks ago, I got one of these. I probably have added 25% to 30% speed increase, and my body feels awesome. People forget that. We talk about blogging as WordPress is the tool, you know, and the things we use to, like, I use Scrivener now for putting all my posts together and arranging article series and plans and all kinds of things. I love Scrivener. That was brilliant. That's probably WordPress and Scrivener and NoteTab Pro are the three things that I can, and Firefox, four things that I cannot live without in my work.
How do you spell that? Scrivener.
Scrivener. Scrivener. So literatureandlatte.com is the site for it. It's available in Windows and or Mac first, and now it's in Windows. And what it does, it's what you do before you put it in a word processor. So it allows you to write, and you can create the equivalent of folders and files and shift and move things around and edit within it. It's for creating all your ideas and your plans. I know some podcasters who use it to develop each one of their shows with all their show notes and things, so they have a whole big list of it. And then you can compile it, export it as an ebook, straight to ebook, straight out to any ebook publishing software. It can go into Word, WordPerfect, whatever. And I just started using it a few years ago when it came out for Windows for writing some of my books, and now I'm doing all my blog exercises that I've been doing all year dedicated to the 10th anniversary of WordPress to go back to WordPress roots. So instead of writing about WordPress, I'm writing about how to use WordPress as a blogger and how to blog. I just wanted to turn it on its head. So my goal is 270 posts in this year in honor of the 10th anniversary of WordPress. And I have got those all put into Scrivener, and allows me to keep track of each week and each month and everything. I just absolutely love it. So with those, you know, we think about the software tools, but I got to tell you, honestly, if you're out there and you are serious about using WordPress, you're a coder, you're a hacker, you're a designer, especially if you're into content, you know, we use our butts, our keyboard and fingers, and a mouse and fingers for touchscreen constantly, and yet we buy crap devices. We buy crap chairs, crap keyboards, crap mice, and we're killing ourselves. So please think about your body, respect it, get some exercise besides sitting. And I adore my Logitech MX Performance. In fact, I think I recommended it to Mark Jakewith or so. Anyway, he keeps extra. He said, "Oh, I love this thing, and I always keep a backup." So I now have ordered a backup, so I have a backup of it. But it's a laser, a rechargeable mouse that I just—it's all ergonomic.
The mouse I'm using is the Performance MX by Logitech.
I love this thing. Yeah, I love this. I've got the big older one, and not the little tiny one. I have a little tiny one for my laptop, and then this Kinesis Freestyle 2 keyboard. I have the brand new 2014 Samsung 10.1 tablet. Oh, this new one for 2014 is awesome! It's got a quad processor. Don't get me starting to talk tech. This thing is absolutely beautiful, except if anyone out there knows how to get Amazon videos on this, please contact me immediately. That's the only thing I can't get working because I can't install Flash, but I hate Flash. Anyway, that's a different story. I can hook up through the mini port this gigantic keyboard, and so I've been actually to take it to the NaNoWriMo stuff and actually write and blog and stuff with my tablet as if it's a laptop, and with this full-size keyboard. It is amazing with a little micro USB connector. It just plugs in. I just start typing. And so respect your body with a good keyboard and get a good chair. I'm saving up. I want anybody want to donate to a good cause? The Swapper is a stool. It comes with a back. I don't care about the back because I don't lean backwards. The Swapper was designed in Germany, and it is like a stool on wheels, and it has a spring built into it. So it is like sitting on a giant, what do you call those exercise balls?
Yeah, some kind of big medicine ball or something.
Yeah, the medicine ball, that's it. It's like a giant medicine ball, but it's a stool. And my desk is built around me, and I can't get a medicine ball underneath it. That's big enough to prop me up high enough, but I want one of these stools and they're like $600, $800. And I really want one so desperately because I spend too much time sitting and I stand while I work and I sit while I work. I want one of these. It's like sitting on a medicine ball, but it's a stool, the Swapper. So it's in my eBay search to try to find one that I can afford. I'm saving up for it. But really, respect your body as part of the process because, you know, I look at my students and I think, oh my God, you're not even bloggers and you've been glued to the computers too much. You know, we gotta any kind of coding, take care of it, you know. But so I'm doing the teaching. I'm doing massive, you know, back doing lots and lots of writing, working on books, technical books on WordPress related, blogging related, and social media. Starting, you know, next year is the big push for promoting what we're doing at Clark, and so I'm going to be going to a lot more conferences. Invite me to your conference. I'm a great keynote or whatever, and doing lots of workshops. I started doing workshops for writers who want to know about WordPress here in my home and my little home in the woods, and loving every minute of this, and so proud of you guys. I am so proud of you, Jeff and Sarah. I love what you guys are doing, and I gotta brag. In my class...
You know what's weird when you say I'm so proud of you, Jeff and Sarah, is that my wife's name is Sarah.
Yeah, I know,
and my coworker's name is Sarah, and I don't know, it's just weird.
You've got too many Sarahs weird in your life. But reading WT Tavern is required reading, so all my students are required to keep up with WP Tavern.
Oh, boy.
Yep, and we used the articles that I think, Sarah, that you wrote on 3.7 and what's coming up in 3.8 in the last week. Last week, we used those in class, put them up on the screen, and talked about what was coming up. And it is, and I have several articles, but my favorite is WordPress with a P, the one where you had the debate on would you hire somebody who wrote WordPress with a lowercase p. That's required reading in the first week of my class.
Wow.
Yeah, because it's, you know, teaching college and teaching this at the education level, one of the things that I take on is that you got to know the right name for it, whatever it is. First of all, you can't fix it unless you know what it's called. I need to fix this little thing that sits over in the sidebar that I don't know what it is, but it's broken. How do I fix it? That's not going to get you any help. What helps is naming. So we go through, it's not called the dashboard. The dashboard is a trademark name, and we can't call the whole administration panels the dashboard because MT got the trademark on it, and I don't think they've released it.
Oh, I'm very guilty of doing that.
Yeah, it's not the dashboard. It's the, and again, it's users come up with the names, but we, Michael Adams and I went through and named all the parts and pieces years ago for the WordPress Codex. So it's the administration panels is supposed to, or screens is now coming up, and admin or backend, those are acceptable names for it. And it's an evolving thing, but technically we're not supposed to be calling it the dashboard. The dashboard is one of the panels or screens on the backend or administration panels. And just like you have posts and you have pages and dashboards, just one of them. And so it's important to know the names, and I tell people part of coding, part of content, important part of content, But definitely coding and design is it's all about the details. And when you don't capitalize the P, that speaks really, really loudly because it's a bit disrespectful of the trademark. But more importantly, people pick up on that and they think, oh, here's somebody who doesn't pay attention to details. I'm not sure I want them to work for me. So
yeah,
we work
how about
hard on
DeFogo.
Oh, yeah, I love that. But understanding, you know, that there's nuances to it. So I work hard so that article is required reading, so that people have to know what are these things called, so they can fix them when they break, and they can actually speak well for it, just like learning any language. And I just love it. And I want to tell you guys something exciting that I just started with a class this year, and hopefully it's going to go forever. So, and I'm terrified to give out the URL, because the students are in the middle of revamping this, but I'm going to do it anyway. ClarkWP.wordpress.com. This quarter started, and it's going to continue forward. Every WordPress class, WordPress 1, WordPress 2, the students are going to be required, in WordPress 1 so far, I have them required to do in their homework 4 articles on the site. And they get to choose of whatever level they are, because we have people that are coming in as experienced web designers, developers. They need to get a degree and they're coming back to school, but they already know how to do all this stuff. Combined with people that are starting out in college for the first time, where they're coming back to college having never gone to college. You know, at 40 or 50 years old, we've got, like I said, it's a WordCamp, WordPress meetup at every single class. And so I let them choose at what level, but they get to choose 3 articles at whatever level they want to do to write about WordPress. And then the 4th one has to be an interview, audio, video, I don't care, written, email, whatever, with someone in the WordPress community or somebody who uses WordPress professionally. And
sounds to me like you're creating hundreds of Laurels.
No. But sort of. But it's important that they understand first how to publish, because that's part of what the whole learning is. You have to understand the content. And for them, it's about taking a sense of ownership in what they're doing and in their homework. And boy, I'll get to that in a second. That part just blows me away. This will serve as a portfolio piece, a resume piece, and be part of their capstone for graduation, their final project for graduation. They can use what they're publishing throughout this course. Now there's some of the other classes went in on it too. We'll see what happens, that are in the CTEC department. But it allows them to have these portfolio pieces they can put on their resume. But it's something that isn't their student site, which they get to rip and tear apart, and they can do ugly things and lorem ipsum and whatever because they're experimenting. This is something that they have to step up to and do quality writing, quality publishing, and it's student run. So we have 3 student editors. We have checkers and proofers. We have people that are helping to do graphics and design. So it's just in progress. It's so early days. It's a little broken right now, but that's just part of the evolution of it. And it is wonderful to see the students get so excited about this and get pride. And one person, Isabel Huckabee, she blew me away. She's in the web development degree. She wants to be totally into code. And she did an interview with a local WordPress developer, and she did the whole thing as a cartoon. And her graphic skills have just... She's designing cartoon graphics and funny things and all kinds of stuff. They're being incredibly creative. They are actually using it like a live thing. They're learning how to work in collaboration and teamwork, all part of what WordPress is about and the WordPress community. And being on a multi-user site, multiple contributor site, is really important. So they're getting how it works in the real world. So they have their own student site, and then they have ClarkWP.wordpress.com, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to watch them take ownership of this and use WordPress as a platform to share their talents, their knowledge, their ability, and their voice. and be heard. I'm so excited about this.
Well, Laurel, I could talk to you all day, and I think that's pretty obvious. I think we could just chat about WordPress all day long, but I don't think the people listening have all day. I don't want to, but I want to take this opportunity to thank you very much for. I know you're a very busy woman. It's hard to get in touch with you, and you're here, there, and always writing. But it's always great to have you back on, and I promise you, it won't be another 5 years before I have you back on.
It better not be. And honestly, again, I'm so proud of both of you with what you're doing. And I am so thrilled that WP Tavern is not only back, but it has an awesome future. And I'm looking forward to where you guys are going to take this.
Thank you very much. And that's going to do it. Oh, before I go, I want to announce that our special guest next week will be Tom McFarland, formerly of 8-Bit, and one of the authors of the WP Boilerplate plugin. So that's going to be an awesome show because Tom has recently wrote quite a few articles about the community aspects of WordPress. So it's going to be great talking to him about that and kind of hearing it from his mouth on what's going on with the WordPress community. And that's going to do it for this week's edition of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all previous episodes on wptavern.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, which is JeffR0. And you can also follow Sarah on Twitter at
Polly Plummer, PollyPlummer.
Until next week, have a safe weekend, everybody.